Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I'd like to welcome you to episode 129 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Well, it's finally happened. We're having mass shootings faster than I'm doing podcasts. It is unbelievable. By now, we all know that Syed Rizwan Farouk and his wife, Tashfeen Malik, shot up a state treatment center, health center, disabled assistance center, whatever you want to call it, in San Bernardino. 14 people killed, numerous others wounded, and they were, of course, killed after the shooting. We still don't know the motive, obviously. It looks, more and more it looks like an act of radicalized Muslim terrorism, but they don't know that for sure. He worked at the place that he shot up, and apparently he's had some workplace disputes or workplace hassles, and had hassled that day at the holiday party that he went back and initially started shooting up. So, it's the same thing, right? I mean, last week it was a Planned Parenthood center. This week it's a disabled care facility. I don't know where it'll be next week. I don't know where it'll be next time. The only thing I know, and you know, that it's absolutely guaranteed there will be another one. Now, this one, like I said, no one knows for sure of the motive except for Fox News, which has already, said the whole thing is radical Muslim terrorism, whatever. Now, granted, this guy had this couple, and that is unprecedented, by the way, for it to be a couple, a man and a woman, doing the shooting together. But they had bulletproof vests. They had thousands of rounds of ammunition at their house. They had pipe bombs. So obviously there was something going on here, some pre-planning and whatever. But I'm not gonna go into it. You know why? Because there's literally 100 talking heads on TV that have been talking about this for the last 2 days ad nauseum. It is blah blah blah. And you know, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. There's going to be prayer vigils, and the politicians are saying the same thing. Paul Ryan, this guy is I'm not laughing. Obviously, I'm not laughing about the killing, but the Republican machine it's so funny and at the same time absolutely heartless. So after the shooting last week at Planned Parenthood, and we're going to have to come up with a way to name these things like hurricanes so we can tell one from the other, because they actually happen a lot more often than hurricanes. But Paul Ryan said, it's time for Congress to take action on mental health issues. Yeah, because that's a problem. Mental health issues. It has nothing to do with the guns. It's the mental health issues. Now, if you do want to blame it on mental health issues, you'd have to go back to Reagan, Saint Reagan, as the Republicans look to him, because he was the one who gutted our national mental health care and turned all these people out onto the streets. But here's the thing about blaming all of this on mental health. When's the last time we had a mass stick beating? Yeah, when's the last time a crazy guy with a stick just started beating a bunch of people? Oh, never heard about that. You know why? Because guns are the problem, okay? Easy access to guns, all types of guns. I mean, one more time, the assault weapon, and I'm not going to get into the definition of an assault weapon, and I'm not going to get into that argument with the gun nuts. And I'm talking about the gun nuts, not responsible gun owners, gun nuts. When you can go into Walmart and buy an AR-15, there's a problem. Now, we're going to say, well, California has tough gun laws. Yeah, but Nevada doesn't, and Arizona doesn't, and that's just a couple hours drive, and that's the problem, okay? Chicago has gun laws. Gary, Indiana doesn't, so you drive 2 hours and get all the guns you want. We're insane. We as a nation, we look at Paris, and yet we do that every week now. Now it's every week. I think there have been more mass shootings this year than ever in history, and this year ain't over yet. And I'm not going to go into the statistics or anything else. It is just I don't know. I read one thing I read that was very interesting, and I think is true. It said that after Sandy Hook, okay, once we allowed a pile of bodies of first grade children to be stacked up and nothing done with gun laws, that was when we said mass shootings are okay. When we basically approved a mass shooting of children, that's when we said, go ahead, shoot all you want. And it's really true. We're okay with this. Let's stop pretending we're not. Okay, how about that? How about we stop pretending that we're not okay with this? Stop making up this terrorist bullshit, okay? And yeah, it may be terrorism, but there's just, you know, how many white Christian males have gone on mass shooting sprees? That's never terrorism. And I heard someone say there's no ideology involved when the guy shot up the Planned Parenthood. Really? No ideology when he goes after an abortion clinic? No ideology involved when a guy in South Carolina shoots up a black church and says, I'm here to kill black people? No ideology? That's not terrorism? Of course it is. It's the absolute same thing. Listen, I could talk in circles about this. I'm disgusted by this. If I don't want to hear some idiot politician say, well, you know, if we give the disabled patients, if the disabled patients had guns, if there was a good disabled patient with a gun, they could have stopped a bad shooter with a gun. Really? Is that the next step? It's the same thing. We hear from Barack Obama, who is angered and disgusted, but really can't do much from the executive level without Congress being on board. We hear, you know, as far as changing the nation's gun laws, he can do some things with executive orders, but he can't change the nation's gun laws without Congress. And we don't have a national gun law, so you can always find a state where it's easy to get your gun at a gun show with no background check and nobody knows you bought it. Or, you know, Congress says it's mental health, which is ridiculous, okay? Right after after Paul Ryan made that point, it was also pointed out in the same article that there was no indication that Robert Deere, the shooter in Planned Parenthood, he didn't have a mental health history. He didn't have anything. So people, well, background checks wouldn't have stopped it. Background checks would help. Background checks would absolutely help. Listen, right now, there is a law on a bill. It's not a law. It's a bill to stop people who are on the terrorist watch list from buying guns. In other words, if you're on a terrorist watch list, you're on a no-fly list, you can't get on a plane, legally you can still buy a gun. And who's fighting against that law? The NRA. And the law won't pass. The law won't get through Congress. So what the hell? I wish I had read or noted who posted the thing about Sandy Hook, but that is true. Once we said it's okay to shoot first grade children, we've given our tactic approval to all mass shootings. So I can keep talking about this, but really, I'm tired. I'm as tired of it as anybody. So let's pretend it's mental health. Let's pretend we care. Let's pray for the victims and blah, blah, blah. And again, I'm not disrespecting the victims. I'm just saying that this is the same shit over and over again. It is, what is today? Today's the 3rd, so we've got 3 weeks until Christmas. 2 more mass shootings by Christmas. That's my guess. 2 more mass shootings by Christmas. What else is going on? For me, I did something this week. This is my second time doing it. It was pretty cool. And I'm sorry, I'm jumping off the mass shooting topic because there's nothing I can add. There's nothing I can add to that. But I hosted the Above and Beyond Awards in Detroit where they award first responders. I have I've joked around with the Detroit Chief of Police, which is, to me, very cool to know the Chief of Police in Detroit, who, by the way, said that if more people in Detroit had concealed carry licenses, there'd be less chance of terrorism in Detroit. And, you know, I joked with him that, listen, you don't really have to worry about it because this is Detroit. and terrorists ain't rolling on Detroit. Detroit, badass city. But Chief James Craig and the fire commissioner, whose name escapes me at the moment. I'm sorry about that, but Eric Jones. James Craig and Eric Jones run the fire department and the police department, and they award these first responders. And some of these stories are incredible. These are the people who literally do run into burning buildings and pull people out, or run into gunfights and protect people. It's amazing. So kudos to them. And kudos to showing that, yeah, there are some good cops. There are definitely some good cops and super brave firemen and this and that. And it's a shame that they're all smirched and overshadowed by murderous cops and cowardly cops and bully cops and so on. But that was a good event. It was a good event, okay? And I'm totally caught off guard because I had all kind of other stuff to do on this podcast, and in light of these shootings, it just seems it's like, why even talk about it? Racism, we gonna talk about that? Am I gonna talk about that again? Am I gonna talk about the same topics over and over again? Here's a couple, interestingly to me, because I'm a car guy, but they're related to cars. Car insurance rates far higher in African-American areas, they found out. Companies charge more in minority communities. And this isn't a small difference in money, okay? So what they did, the Consumer Federation took an average person, same driving profile, 30-year-old, single female, high school graduate. And why does that matter in your insurance, whether or not you graduated from high school or went to college? Anyway, this average person rents home, has a clean driving record, a fair credit rating, and drives 10,000 miles a year. The premium in areas that were predominantly African American, $1,060 a year. In areas that were less than one quarter African American, $622 a year. So racism has a actual price. There's actually a dollar amount you can add to it. And it's the same thing with financing cars. There's a bill in Congress right now. And again, this just fascinates me because they're fighting it. They're fighting it, okay? There's a bill in Congress that wants to change the car lending practice to end discrimination. Now, here's how they discriminate in car loans. And I didn't know this. I've learned about this. What they do is you go to a car dealer, you apply for a car loan. The car dealer takes the application, sends it to the bank. The bank sends back an approval. Say they send back an approval at, 3% or something like that. So the car dealer comes out to you and says, I got you a loan at 4%, and that additional 1% is profit for the car dealership. And that's one of the ways they make money. That's why they want you to finance a car. But what they've been doing is they come out to a white buyer and they add 1%. Then they come out to a black or Latino buyer and they add 3, 4, or more percent. And again, this is not a small amount of money, okay? There was a lawsuit in Chicago, and what they found out was, okay, I'm looking this up because I don't want to mess up too much on saying this. Okay, dealer markups have been far higher for black and Latino borrowers than white borrowers for decades. When the borrowers sued in the 90s, they discovered that dealers were twice as likely to add a markup to the loans of African Americans. And even when dealers marked up both white and black borrowers' loans, it was higher for the minority buyer. Their suit discovered that in Wisconsin, white Ford buyers paid an average markup of $156. Black Ford buyers paid an average of $1,041. So we're talking about $900 difference. It's so now you're looking at the actual monetary cost of racism. Again, same thing. This is in Congress. It is being fought by lobbyists and congressmen. They don't want to do it. They say they're taking money out of the car dealers' pockets. This is America, and you shouldn't be taking money. Shut up. Okay. I'm just running through this. Okay. You know I hate the name, but I'll say it again. I hate talking about him, Donald Trump. But this is an interesting story because it's about why the media can't tell the truth when Donald Trump lies. So Donald Trump came out, you probably heard this, and said 81% of murdered white people are killed by black people. Okay, that's what Donald Trump said. The truth, 84% of murdered white people are murdered by other white people. And that's because any and all cops will tell you, murder is usually committed by someone you know, somebody close to you, maybe family or something like that. But anyway, so Donald Trump's tweet cited the Crime Statistics Bureau of San Francisco, which doesn't exist. The organization literally does not exist. But no reporters, and I've said this before, no reporter raises their hand and just says, excuse me, you're lying. And this is why, okay? These were the headlines after he wrote it. Trump tweet on black crime sets off a firestorm. That's what Fox News wrote. USA crime statistics broken down by race. That's what the Daily News wrote. Trump takes heat about tweet for black murder rates from The Hill. Basically, everyone said something, but no one said it was a lie. They just talked about the outrage over what he said. And here's what this article says. The incentive for candidates to lie is most media outlets don't have the resources to check for accuracy immediately, but since the U.S. media is based on a commercial model, more eyeballs on the page is good for business. They don't have time. They don't waste time checking. They love when Donald Trump says something outrageous. They fact-checking reigns on their parade. So this is where we're at with media. Why you can't? You don't have time to check facts. Just he said something crazy. Get it on the front page. And then we know there'll be a retraction 5 days later. You know, I'm doing a show for the for the LA Press Club dinner on Sunday, and I'll be glad to bring this up because I have a lot of fun with them. But again, you know, I was joking at my show tonight. I'm at Morty's. I'm in Indianapolis. And I was joking with a young guy in his 20s about lack of hope. And this is why. This is why. You know, what are my stories? Okay. We've got 2 mass shootings in 1 week, discrimination in car buying and insuring in places that you're not even going to really look for it, that you didn't expect it, that you didn't know. I'm sure this has happened to me. I buy a ton of cars over the years. I love buying and selling cars, so I'm sure this has happened to me. I wanted to do, you know what I want to do this week? I wanted to do to talk about Amy Schumer and this calendar that she posed for. And by the way, I'll say it again. I admire Amy Schumer. The Pirelli calendar shot by Annie Leibovitz, it's a nude calendar, but it's not the typical, you know, hot model, big boob nude calendar. It's real people. And she has Serena Williams on a back view of Serena Williams, show the power of Serena's body. And it's sort of a profile shot of Amy Schumer. And it's Amy Schumer's real. Amy Schumer does not have a model's body. Amy Schumer, some would say overweight, some would say soft. Amy described it herself. Just absolutely amazing. The quote was, beautiful. Now, this is Amy's caption. Beautiful, gross, strong, thin, fat, pretty, ugly, sexy, disgusting, flawless woman. I admire her honesty, straight up, to be that honest, to be that out there like that. Good for Amy. That's the kind of stuff I want to talk about this week. Wanted to lighten it up a little bit. Respect to Amy Schumer. I wanted to talk about funny laws, okay? There are funny laws. 5 of the strangest driving laws in the nation. In Mississippi, still legal to drink and drive. Yeah, still legal to drink and drive. In New Jersey and Hawaii, it is illegal to drive with your pet in your lap. Man, I wish that was illegal in California because there's so many dogs behind the wheel. And you know, if you have an accident and that airbag hits your dog, or more likely you're playing with your dog, not paying attention and drive into something, well, if you do it in Hawaii or New Jersey, you're going to get a fine for it. And this is the stuff that I wanted to talk about, okay? Crazy driving laws. Can't let your dog sit in your lap. Donald Trump's lying. But all that goes away because we have another mass shooting. I'm sorry, people. I'm going to wrap the podcast up. I'm becoming repetitive. I have nothing to say. Sorry. I have nothing great to add. I'm looking through my notes for my podcast. There's nothing here that's really funny or really good or nothing here that's going to trump the 100 people talking about another mass shooting until the next mass shooting. And maybe we're keeping score now. I don't know. God bless you. Oh, speaking of God, if you go to my Facebook page, I posted about the Planned Parenthood shooting, and it's very funny to see the pro-abortionists. Like, it's such a weird thing. They're pro-life for the fetus, but it's okay to shoot people to protect the fetus. And one of them posted about the millions of unborn babies killed every year by Planned Parenthood. Again, this is the same as the Trump theory. Like, it's not true, but we'll just say it because it sounds outrageous and it gets some headlines. Yeah, if Planned Parenthood was literally killing millions of babies a year, do you know how busy they'd be just on a time schedule? Man, there'd just be a line. You'd just be a doctor there with a vacuum. But anyway, that's on my Facebook page. Don't even waste time with it, all right? It's ridiculous. I wish us luck. I do. I wish us luck as a society. I've said it before. I will say it again. Those who say liberals hate America, you have it absolutely backwards. We're upset because we know this country is capable of so much more. We're so much better than mass shootings and killing at abortion clinics and all that bullshit and the religious right, which basically follows the same principles as the Taliban, much as they claim to hate them, and the lies from politicians and the made-up stories at Fox News. We're so much better than all of that. But you know something? Maybe we're not. Solonzo Bowden asking who's paying attention, thanking you for paying attention. And as I said, this weekend I'm at Morty's in Indianapolis. Next week I'll be at Charlie Goodnight's in Raleigh, North Carolina. And man, I hope my next podcast isn't about racism and mass killings. Thanks.